I'd like to give a different type of shmooze today. Usually a talk, a shmooze, reflects, it relates, it goes around one point, but I have three distinct and I think separate points which are important and relevant, and at the end we'll relate a little bit to the matzah. How long are both sides? How long could one live on one Dvar Torah? How long can we have inspiration and direction from one vort? A day, an hour, 15 minutes, till lunch, till the main course. Listen to this. There's one Ben Zion Alphas who relates that one Dvar Torah from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter guided him for more than 50 years. That's longer, I think, anybody here was alive. 50 years, a Yovel Shanim. I didn't see your Gil. 49, sorry. Ken Yerbu. It must have been something very complex, long, Kabbalistic. A Vort which held someone, a Dvar Torah which held someone for 50 years. So I want to tell you what it was. You ready for this? I'll put in the introduction that takes from 6 words to 7 words. Bini, that's what Rabbi Yisrael taught him. Im hatzedek itcha tir'eh shetisha'er tzodek. Anticlimactic, huh? Gevaldik. Bini, my son, if the truth is with you, make sure that you stay with the truth with you. Which means this. A lot of times, in a machlokes, a difficulty, different people see things differently, you have a money matter with someone, and you know you're right and he's wrong, and somebody owes you money. Hatzedek itcha. The tzedek is with you. But Rabbi Yisrael said, make sure that the tzedek stays with you. Make sure that the rightness stays with you. Because what happens a lot of time? You're right. But that gives you the right from your high place to speak Lashon Hara, to make machlokes, to be involved with Pnei Chaveiro, to embarrass someone, to hurt someone's feelings. I'm right. No, you're wrong. And with that, you can change from being on the right side to being on the wrong side. So Rabbi Yisrael instructed this young man, Ben Zion Alphas, if you're right, make sure you stay right. Don't fall to that trap from your high place to make mistakes. Now let's look. Is there depth there? For sure. Is it directing? For sure. Does it penetrate into human personality and how people work? For sure. But it was nothing long, nothing so sophisticated, right? Nothing we cannot imagine. And that short vort guided this person for 50 years in his business dealings. For years later, he remembered those 7 words from Yisrael Salanter. Now, why do I tell you that? Because I think this is one of our greatest problems, believe it or not. Not the words of Yisrael, but the underlying principle. And it stops us from becoming the people we can be and having Torah affect us the way it should. Torah and Musar is not like other chachmas. Someone wants to be a doctor. He goes to 5 years of medical school, a year 4.5. Says it's enough. All those 4.5 years were basically worth nothing. He never got past the grade. No one's ever going to speak to him as a doctor. Maybe he could give some advice in the park. Doesn't really matter, right? 3 years of law school, goes for 2.5 years, time to take the bar. Doesn't have co-op, gets sick. All that was for nothing. The only point is the end point. And we a lot of times see Torah the same way. It's about getting the whole thing. We have to know the whole thing. We hear one thing, that's nice, but let's get to the next thing. And all the more so today do we have this problem in the absolute throwing of the bookshelf, which computers and tablets allow us to do. You have Kol HaTorah Kula in your hand, right? And anytime we want to look into a topic, we can hear 30 shiurim and 100 different Torah and 1,000 sources, and that's what we think how Torah works. Now, of course, there's an advantage with that, but there's a tremendous disadvantage because Torah is penetrating. Torah is power. Every word of Torah can mean something to us, move us, shake us. Rabbi Yerucham said, Torah is a tavlin. Rabbi Yerucham writes, the great Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva, that just like a drug, Torah is like a drug, Torah is like a poison. One drop of poison can totally rack the person. So to one vort, one Dvar Torah can change a person's life and hold you for years and years and years. Rav Olda writes, how should a person learn Musar? If you're learning Mesilas Yesharim, Chovos HaLevavos, Shari Tshuva, and you get to a point which means something to you, how long should you stay on that point? A day? A week? A year? Pravolba says it depends on you. If it means something to you and it's still penetrating to you, stay on that point forever. There's another thing. You want to learn Sifrei Mosar Bekiyas. But if the point penetrates you, let it continue to penetrate you. Because that's the point of what Torah is for. It's not about the Sachakol. There's something known called Torah Kulav also. But the idea is find the things which penetrate you and move you, and they will hold you. Don't just go looking for the next void all the time. And I want to suggest a three-point process to help us make this real, which is filter, store, review. You could call it phaser. Everybody's still remembering my line from Sukkot, some of us, huh? Phaser, filter, store, review. Meaning, when you hear a shmooze, this shmooze, other shmoozes, etc., your Rebbe says something, filter. The Tanayim were mishtabeach. We're praised in the Mi that some of them had a great filter. They were sieves. What's a sieve? He knows what to take in and what not to take in. Each of us is unique. And different things penetrate us at different points of our life and who we are. So you have to filter. Say, ah, that's a vort for me. That's a nice, we listen to everything. But that's a vort which can change me. That's an idea which can hold me. That's an idea which can help me in my specific nisyonos in my personal life. That's going to hold me when I leave yeshiva. So filter it. Filter. Listen and filter. Next, you have to store things. Where do you put it? Okay, you filter, now what? Have a special notebook. The special Dvar Torah of your notebook. This is my notebook. That's the S, phaser, and finally to review. When you have that special notebook with your special Dvar Torah and the things and thoughts and ideas that move you, write them down. If we can do this, or both sides, Torah will mean a whole different thing to us. Okay, that's my first point. My next point, as I said, they're separate points. I'd like to illustrate my next point with a short mushel. It's a very strong point. There was a boy named Shmuel. He was in a car accident, Lolena. He lost the ability to walk. Tell him, Shmuel, you're never going to walk again. As he's lying, and he's a tough and determined kid, he's lying in the hospital bed, and he made a promise to himself that no matter what the doctors say, I'm going to push, and I'm going to walk one day with a walker. Physical therapy for 2 hard years. The day comes, he's getting closer. The doctor say to him, Shmuel, you're ready to go. Goes to Yad Sara, gets the walker. He's in the walker. Can you imagine the joy, the simcha, the utter exuberance of the family that this Shmuel was lying in the hospital bed today is walking with a walker? Times pass. 2 weeks later, his physical therapist says, Shmuel, you're not going to believe it. I believe if you keep going, you will be able to walk without a walker. You're going to sing, you're going to dance, you're going to run like the other kids. Imagine her shock when Shmuel turns to him and says, you know what? It's enough. It's enough. I can walk with a walker. That's enough. But Shmuel, you can dance at your bar mitzvah. And the next round of physical therapy will be easier than what you did so far. And look how much you accomplished. He says, no, I set a goal for myself. I said I'm going to learn how to walk in a walker. I made it to that. I'm not going any further. But Shmuel, your kids' weddings, you can run. You can be normal. It's enough. It's enough. How foolish that Shmuel is. Both sides, a time of truth. So I want to tell you the nimshel. I hear people come to yeshiva and they say, you know what? I came to yeshiva to learn how to read Chumash and to learn Hebrew. I made the goal. It's enough. I know how to learn a Gemara now. I can learn my son in sixth grade. That was the goal I made for myself. It's enough. For both sides, there's a whole world of running and dancing. Run with the Rashba. Dance with the Ricky Vager. Cha-cha with the Ktzos. Why make such a boundary on yourself? Is that the way to do things? For difficult, different, legitimate reasons, people leave yeshiva. We're not talking about that. But don't let that be the one. Because you made a goal when you were in a wheelchair. When you didn't know what Torah was. People need milestones in life. Milestones to cross. But there's a very big difference between a milestone to cross and an ultimate stop point. Milestones, yes. I came to yeshiva with this goal. But that's not a stop point. Now I reach the goal. A milestone. Now, I evaluate. Does that mean I should leave yeshiva? Because when I was in a hospital bed and I didn't know anything about anything, I thought that's what life was about, just to be able to learn with your sixth grader, or just to read Hebrew? Keep going. Don't stop. Think about it. Evaluate. It's like baseball. Imagine someone hits the ball. It looks like it's going to be a single. He gets to first base. He stops. But then he notices the outfielder is fumbling the ball. Does he stop? I made it to first base. Enough! Dibizet. He'll be out of the major leagues right away. All contracts will be off. You could have got it to double. You could have made it into a double. I made it to first base. It was a single. That was a milestone. You're not happy I made a single? My batting average is 350. But you could have had a double. Dude. You could have had a double. You don't stop. Now, the muscle is really very exact if you think about it. And it's not just for the guys who are starting out or have gotten to that point of laning or reading the Chumash. It's each and every one of us. It's me. We all have in our mind goals and milestones that we reach. I'm a nice guy. I have good midos. I know how to daven. I can be the chazan. I can say korbanos. Enough. I know how to learn. You know how to learn? That's it. I have ideas of Torah. Every single area of both sides. Do we understand that Torah is infinite? Every madriga, every level against the next level is a wheelchair in midos? That's what it means, good midos. What kind of midos did the Gra have? What kind of ideas did Yisrael Salanter have? What type of knowledge did the Chidush Arim have? Why are we stopping ourselves? Goals? I'm the first one for practical goals. But you hit the goal, you hit the milestone, you know this, then you stop, you're in a wheelchair. It's just the first examples I gave are more obvious to us. But every single one of us is sitting in a lot of wheelchairs. And when we say that I'm stopping in that wheelchair, we're like that kid Shmuel who says, I can walk with a walker now, I don't want to learn how to walk past that. Both sides, it's a time to be real, you know? It's so close now. If you want to know how close things are, there are Talmidim of Agon HaKadosh Moshe Tversky that teach in this yeshiva, teaching these in Eshet Torah. Another staff member was 10 seconds away. Another Rav lives across the street. Avreichim here learned in that base medrash for years. A Rebbe here has a son who's learning this minute in the kollel there. I personally know three of the Nirtzachim. I thought it was two, then I realized yesterday it was three. And two of them quite well. And the truth is, it's been close. How many of us travel on a light rail where the Piguim are starting? And there are people here who knew the baby and the parents of the baby that started the whole thing. And there's a Talmud here who told me that he was a teacher of the South American Giyaris that died a week later, which people don't even know about, in that first Pigua. So it's close, and it's been close. And the truth is, it's not even close. It's us. It's us. And the Rambam advises us, when Echem Mechabura is mace, when someone from a Chabura, someone from a group dies, everybody has to be concerned. Everybody has to be concerned. It's a time to be serious. It's a time to be real. It's a time to think. So I'd like to share 3 points. I'm not the person to come and say what the Avodas Ador is, what we should do as a yeshiva. That's way beyond me. But I want to share 3 things. The first thing is something that was said in the Hesped about Agon HaKadosh or Moshe Tversky. It was an Adam Yachadim Yuchad, a Goyin and a Kaddish. And something was said about him, which I think is very, very touching. Moshe Meisman, the Reshiva that he worked for years and years, said that Moshe had one audience. He had one audience his whole life. He was performing for the Eibishter. He was performing for the Ribono Shel. That was the only audience he had. Think about that. How many audiences do we have? Who do we perform for? Who are we acting for? For our chavrusa? For our ego? For ourselves? For our parents? Or against our parents, or to rebel at our parents, who are we performing for? Who's our audience in life? Here was a person, we lost a person who was a yachid, maybe one of the single people in the generation with his taras and nefesh that performed for one person. I'm not saying hesped about him, about any of them. I'm just bringing out a point that such an unbelievable limud to think about. Who is my audience? And how can I make that the Ribono Shel Olam will be my only audience? And then two suggestions. Two humble suggestions I'd like to make. I mentioned this before. The Medrash tells us in Shoftim, Kishyesh din lamata, ain din lamala. Kish ain din lamata, yesh din lamata. When there's din here, when people are judging, literally it means when the dayanim, when the judges, when the Jewish judges, when the Jewish judges sit and convene, that turns off the midas din above. That turns off divine judgment. But when there's no din, when everybody does whatever they want, and Bati Dinah don't convene, and judges don't meet, then the Midas Adin has to work down here. That's what the Chazal tell us in Devarim Rabbah. And I was taught from my teachers that it doesn't just mean the Jewish judges. It means every person on himself. When a person does judgment on himself, a true judgment, an honest judgment, a real judgment, when a person does din l'mata, and he does cheshbon ha-nefesh, and he evaluates himself, that can turn off the divine judgment. And when people aren't doing that, the divine judgment moves for both sides. It's a time of judgment. Everybody feels that. Midas Adin. It's a scary thing. It's one of the ways the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the way. Elohim. It's one of the ways he runs the world. There's Midas Adin. There's a strong Midas Adin. Shouldn't be on any of us. It's on the Tzibur. Such a thing that happened. The head of Zaka said things like he's seen everything, right? And the gruesomeness didn't compare to other things he saw. But to see Jews in a talis and tefillin, he had to go back to the Holocaust. He said he hasn't seen that, Meshi Zav said, to see such a thing. There's Midas Adin. I am Benara. It's a real thing. But Chazal tell us a way that we can control it a little bit. If we make a din lamata, if we make judgment, I want to give two suggestions about how to make judgment. What does it mean to make judgment? One, to learn Torah be'emes. To learn Torah be'emes. To look for the truth. That's a din. I can be satisfied with a weak pshat in the Mishnah Berurah and what my Rebbe said and what the Rashba said. I can get by with that. Be'erich. But do a din. Push yourself. That's Midas Adin. To push ourselves, to go a little bit further, to look for the truth. I'm not satisfied with that. I ask my Rebbe again. I ask my Rosh Kol again. I read the Mishnah Berurah again. I look again. That's Midas Emes. That's Din. I'm doing a Din on myself to get to the Emes. And we'll do that Din, the Din of Torah. Eretz Yerav Shakata. Torah is called Din. When a person is mischazik in Torah, in that way, with Emes, looking for the truth of Torah and judging himself, I'll be that. So that's a Din Lamata. That'll turn off the Din Lamala. And of course, for every person to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh on himself. That din, judging ourselves. Everybody knows where they're missing. Everybody knows where they're lacking. To do that din, to go through that painful process. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling me now? What do I have to do? And finally, my last suggestion, and with this I'll end. How amazing it will be if everybody here and their wives made a Kabbalah. To change ourselves, I don't know if we have the koach, I don't know if I have the koach to totally become a new person now. Maybe that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam really wants from us. Someone could do that, don't listen further. But for the rest of us, some small Kabbalah, some real thing. Don't just take the inspiration, take a real point out of something. Some Dvar Torah you hear, something you read in the paper, something you heard, something your Rebbe said. Take a real Kabbalah, make a real Kabbalah on yourself. Some significant, but small, very, very small, like the Bali Musar always say, some small change. I'm going to do this a little different till, my suggestion, the end of Hanukkah. For 6 weeks. And to speak to your B'nai Beso, to speak to the wives, if we would do that, there'd be like 120, 150 people that would be doing something. Kol Echad, what's each person, what's Matim to him? Who knows the power of that? Who knows the power of that Kabbalah? Every person making a small Kabbalah, people around Klal Yisrael are doing such a thing. Now's the time to think. Don't just take inspiration. Take and make some real Kabbalah. Suggest to your wives to do the same. We could hold it together for 6 weeks. Bez Hashem, if we see that we can do this, it should be a schuss with the whole Klal Yisrael, with the whole Tzibur. We should see Nechemas Tzion, Shalva, and a Sheket, and a Shalom, which all Yoshvei Aretz feel, and all the Yidden around the world, and all Klal Yisrael feels. And we'll see Mashiach Tzidkenu, and here we are, Amen. Amen. Okay, make a shot.